Here in Melbourne, we have some learned experts. Before too long, Andrew McConnell, chef extraordinaire, will come in and have a chat with us. But right now, we have the voice of Cindy Darnell, I guess one of Australia's most well-known sexual educators and sex therapists. This is sexy time.
I've heard people say
Cindy Darnell. Welcome, Cindy. It's so good to have you back.
Oh, I love being here. This is like being in my living room.
I'm just going to give a little heads up too to any parents or young discreet ears that are in the house. Of course, we always have a respectful conversation. I feel so lucky to have someone like Cindy to talk to about things like sex, right? But we will be talking about sexual content in the next 15 or so minutes. And on that note, if you'd like to give us a buzz for any questions that you have about specifically the big O, you're welcome to start calling 1300 222 774. We're talking today about orgasms, 1300 222 774, or you can text 0437 774 774. Now, Cindy Darnell. There we go. Barry White's finished because now it's time.
Yes, and that's where we start. When he finishes, we start.
Beautiful to have you back.
It's lovely to be here.
We hear a lot about how difficult some people find to talk about orgasms. Mm-hmm. And we also have this feeling that perhaps is not discussed very often, that an orgasm is a be-all and end-all of a successful sex life.
Yeah.
It's a story that many people carry. And I read on your website recently that you have some different thoughts about that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's exactly right. You hit the nail on the head when it's a story that people carry. A lot of people believe that orgasm is the ultimate goal of sex and that any other motivation for having sex therefore falls into the darkness, into the mysteries, because without an orgasm, then sex is not considered to be successful. But the truth is, for a lot of people, orgasm is not necessarily going to be accessible every single time, and it's also actually not always going to be the primary motivator sometimes. And I'm certainly not anti-orgasm. How can I be anti-orgasm in this job? But it's just about recognizing that we tend to think that it's a default, that's the purpose of sex. And for a lot of people, I really want to invite them to consider, is that the goal for you? And if it isn't the goal, what might the goal be?
You use the word people.
So I did.
Often when we talk about orgasm or difficulty with orgasm, we seem to think that that is a female problem.
Yeah, yeah. And it tends to be, historically, when I say historically, I mean in the last 50 years, historically, it's been perceived as a female problem. And it is certainly something that affects women, but it does also affect men. There is a stigma around talking about it regardless of your gender. Historically, where it's been focused on women, it's often been because the lack of information about the clitoris until very, very recently has really had a lot to do with that.
I think anyone who was at the Book of Mormon premiere over the weekend might know a lot more about the clitoris now than they did beforehand.
Oh.
Yeah, there's lots of fun and games in speaking these things out loud, because for much of our history, that was not a word that we knew or could use.
Yes. Nor did we know the shape and size and capacity of it. And so for a lot of women, there's a lot of reasons why blockages with orgasm occur. And I will get back to men. I'm just talking about women for a second. A lot of the reasons that the blockages occur can be technique related. So it might not be the right kind of stimulation, or it might also be contextual. And what I mean by that is that it's not the right kind of technique and stimulation for that context. So it might have worked yesterday, but it might not work today. And that's completely normal. Now, the same applies to men, where this has historically been, a ladies' issue or a women's issue. I'm meeting a lot of men in my practice who will talk about not being able to have orgasms. Often specifically, they'll talk about it through intercourse. And so then my next question to them is, are you able to have an orgasm when you're by yourself. And if they are, then we know that it's not going to be a physiological problem. There's going to be mechanical. Some other... Well, it could be mechanical. It could be technical. But it means that the body is still, you know, the pipes are working, for want of a better phrase.
Well, so, I love it. Now, often when we're talking about subjects such as sex or such as orgasms, it is very difficult for people to be able to find the language. And I had an example of that this morning. I often go around and have very frank conversations in the office here at the ABC. It was wonderful. A whole range of different opinions and different people, different genders and so on. And without doubt, I couldn't find a single male in the office who had ever recalled a conversation with another male mate about difficulties with orgasm.
And this is a real, real problem. I mean, it's a problem all over the world, but it's a real problem in Australia because a lot of men do not realise how common these experiences are. And I call them experiences rather than problems because it is something that at least some stage in his life, a man's going to experience a problem with his erections or a problem with orgasms or a problem with desire or a problem with, you know, some aspect of sex in the same way that people of all genders experience problems with sex, yet there's such a taboo around men opening up and talking about it because it's considered unmanly.
And what do you see in your practice when a man is in front of you and having that conversation? Like, how difficult is it for him?
It often is difficult in the beginning because the default for a lot of men they will tell me how logical they are. Uh-huh. They will tell me, you know, I've been thinking about this and I've tried this and they've tried to approach it in a variety of very logical ways. And you know, they pride themselves on their business acumen and their smarts. And that's, you know, this has got nothing to do with being smart, but it's got to do with a willingness to consider that possibly logic is not going to be the way forward when it comes to sex and pleasure. That if they've been trying to logic their way out of it for years and it's not working, maybe the logic is telling us that it's not working and we need to try a different approach. And that's usually when they will come to see me, because they'll be at the end of their rope and think, all right, I've tried logic. Logic's not working. Now what? And even that process can be challenging for a lot of men to admit that they don't have the tools that they need to sort it out, because the good news is that sex isn't logical, Claire.
I'm looking forward to you telling us a few of these tips in just a moment. But right now, if you've just joined in, we're lucky to have sex therapist and educator here in Australia, Cindy Darnell, as our guest. This is Sexy Time, and it means that every now and then we get to have a chat with Cindy about things relating to our sexuality. Today, we're concentrating on orgasms and just the question of, is it a problem if one finds it difficult to orgasm? Is it something that's exclusively a problem for women or for men? We've found out the answers already to both of those questions. It's a problem that many people have at different stages in their lives. If you have a question about this topic, you're welcome to call. You can make up a name if you like, if you're feeling shy. 1300 222 774 is our number here. If you have a question for Cindy, it can be something technical or something mechanical, something biological or emotional relating to sex and sexuality, give us a call, 1300 222 774. Or if it's simpler for you, send us a text, 0437 774 774. I'm Claire Bowditch. It's now 15 past 1 o'clock. So, Cindy, you said that there's good news. Sex is emotional.
Mm-hmm.
If I am that gentleman and I'm in this situation where it's particularly difficult for me to find some sense of peace around my experience with orgasms at this stage, where do I go? What do I do?
Mm-hmm. So, one of the most helpful things is for someone to reflect on what has worked in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So what can happen is we get very caught up in, you know, what's wrong? Why is this happening to me? Something terrible is happening. And while it's an unpleasant experience, it's helpful to recognize that in context, it probably is going to be a short-term thing, provided that there is no physiological reason for it. So you've been to see a urologist, you've had the all clear, that would be a time to start asking yourself these questions. Consider back to times that have worked. Where has your mind been? What's been going on in the relationship? Are there other things in your life that are distracting you? Because again, we have been led to believe that men are these sort of single, focused, directive type creatures who are not affected by the environment around them. But the truth is that a lot of them are, and as they should be. That's part of the human condition. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's just because men are not given permission to explore that, that can often be where they get stuck with sexuality.
Monique has called in from Boronia with a question or an observation. Hi, Monique. Welcome to Afternoons.
Hi, how are you? Sorry, I'm just going to turn down my radio because I know that's not the way you're meant to do it.
No, thank you. You've been listening for long enough to know that.
This is really embarrassing and hard for me to talk about, but I've never really been able to orgasm.
Mm-hmm. And that's really...
I'm in my late 40s and I've always just faked it.
Okay.
I don't want to disappoint my partner or partners.
Yeah.
And I don't really know what to do or
Okay.
where to go.
Okay. So first of all, Monique, you are not alone. This is a very, very, very common problem. Can I ask if your partners are male or female or otherwise?
Male.
Male. Okay. So this is especially common for heterosexual women. Part of the reason is that there tends to be a real focus on intercourse, being penis in vagina sex. And for a lot of heterosexual women, that is generally not the activity that's going to provide the correct kind of stimulation that they need to have an orgasm. So in this case, without knowing the full background of your situation, my hunch is that it might be a technical problem, which is great because that can be easily changed. So
I think it's also, without going into too much detail, sort of traumatic childhood.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay. So all of those things definitely can have an effect too. There can be issues there that with unresolved feelings. Certainly that sounds like. And as you say, sort of, you know, wanting to please your partner. So you're distracted about making sure that they're having a good time and not focusing on yourself. All of these things are completely normal, but can also be contributing to what you're describing. Again, I want to call it an experience. It's a problematic experience, but I really want to remind you, Monique, that this is not your fault. There are things that you can do. There are approaches and strategies. I would strongly suggest that if you seek out the advice of a therapist, that certainly maybe one or two sessions on your own, but that at some point your partner needs to get involved as well, because this is going to be a shared pursuit.
That can be really frightening, Monique. I'm just going to put it to Cindy. That can be frightening, the thought of having to sort of admit to having faked it for a long time.
Yeah. And this is something, again, where it can be discussed in a supportive environment where what you're describing around having sort of faked it for a long time can be normalized and understood through the reasons why you were doing it, that you are not withholding that information because you're mean. You're withholding that information because you felt stuck, because you felt like you didn't have any other choice. And so we have to cultivate some inquiry here and some compassion as to why you're doing the things that you're doing, and help you get the tools and the resources to make sure that the future is going to be different, that it doesn't need to stay this way.
Yeah.
Does that make you feel a little bit hopeful, Monique?
Yeah, it does.
Good.
That's great.
Okay.
That's really great. And thanks so much for calling. That's a really, really, there are going to be a lot of listeners who have a very similar experience to yours.
There are the texts of Sally coming in already, Monique, so thanks for bringing it up.
Thank you very much.
Monique from Boronia. Look, Cindy, again on your website, I read an article called Women and That Orgasm Problem, and you're very careful to use that word problem. Mm. You've said it already. Mm-hmm. You want us to ask, have more curiosity and inquiry about what is the experience.
Curiosity, when it comes to sex, it's the key.
Sam's texted in, hi, technical question. I have finding clitoral orgasms easy. Haven't had any luck with other orgasms. Mm-hmm. My partner and I are very open, relaxed and exploratory. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're up for trying it, but we're just wondering, is it possible for everyone to have a vaginal orgasm?
Sure. Look, it's possible. There are actually many kinds of orgasms. So you can have them internally, externally. There's even some scientific evidence to show folks who've had accidents, who have lost nerve sensation in their genitals, will experience orgasms in their thumbs
Hooli
and their
dooli.
Feet. Yeah, so the human body is totes amazeballs. Anyhow, is it possible? Absolutely, it's possible. What all orgasms have in common is firing in the brain. So when we're looking at different kinds of orgasms and how to have different kinds of orgasms, there's loads of different techniques that you can engage in order to get there. Mm. But the primary thing is that there's a willingness and a curiosity to try out these new things and to approach it as if you were approaching it like you were doing a painting, that it doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect, that it's about the creative process rather than focusing on getting it right, because then you can't make mistakes. Part of the journey of exploring sexuality is actually feeling the feelings rather than, you know, sitting in a restaurant scoffing down the delicious dinner just so you can get in the taxi and go home again. What's the point of that? So
yeah, well, Ivan has texted in with a question that's, on that note, you know, why do women take so long for orgasm? He says, our foreplay is great and she shows signs of getting closer, but I find myself getting so sweaty, you know, and it's 10 to 15 minutes. We're in our 50s and this is a new relationship.
Okay, well, so what I can suggest there is toys. Get some great toys. That'll take the pressure off you, calm the sweat situation down. You can even get waterproof toys and you can use them in a cool bath.
Goodness me. I mean, afternoon delight. Cindy Darnell, it's educational as always. I want to ask now a question that's just, it was here in front of me on the screen, but it's disappeared. It was, and that sometimes happens, it was really about a woman who called to say that she had indeed been using toys, but mm-hmm. now she's gone back to her actual real human partner and mm-hmm. she's finding the comparison challenging.
Yeah.
What do you mm-hmm. recommend?
So again, it's just about retraining yourself to respond to different sensations. So sometimes women who become quite dependent on vibrators can get used to a particular sensation, and then the sensation of fingers or hands or other items can not feel as obvious in the beginning. And it's literally just a process of re-sensitizing yourself. It can take a couple of weeks, but again, it's about an adventure to not always default to, I have a problem. You don't have a problem. You're having an experience, and these experiences can change, because once upon a time, most likely, you felt something different, you're feeling something different now, and you'll feel something different again in the future. But the main thing is that there's a willingness on your part to recognize that sex is not static, it's not a monolith. It moves, it's more like water than stone.
And it's not impossible.
And it's not impossible.
Cindy Dunner, what a beautiful place to end. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And for your education. I mean, it's always, I love the boldness of just chatting about these things at 1 o'clock on a Monday morning. Cindy Darnell is a sex therapist and educator. Her website is cindydarnell.com. It's CYNDIDARNELL.com. The article that I referred to is over there. Thank you for your calls and your texts as well, and wishing you all the very best. Looking forward to some progress reports in the future.